From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Owen Henderson. It's Tuesday, May 30th. Coming up, there's a growing movement around the world to give some natural entities the same legal rights as human beings. And it's catching on in the U.S., even in regards to the Mississippi River. We'll hear that story from Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois lawmakers approved a $50.4 billion spending plan early Saturday morning. Alex Degman reports.
The budget spends more on education, public safety, and infrastructure development while also putting more money toward pensions and the state's so-called rainy day fund. It sends a bit more income tax money back to local communities and increases Medicaid reimbursements to hospitals. State Representative Jahan Gordon Booth is the House Democrats' lead budget negotiator.
We're walking the walk. We're talking the talk. We're making fiscally sound decisions. We're making the appropriate investments that we should be making in communities from cradle to the grave.
This year's budget debate was contentious and took more than a week longer than expected. Projected revenues began falling in the middle of the year, and a program offering health care to undocumented immigrants cost more than expected. I'm Alex Degman.
Illinois lawmakers have approved a measure to make most businesses include salary information in job postings. The rules would apply to businesses with 15 or more employees and take effect in 2025. It passed on a mainly party-line vote. Democratic State Representative Marcus Evans said this is another tool to help workers.
The average person is going to feel this. They're going to go on a job interview, and they're going to know what they're signing up for. And if they like X company, that 50 cent, that extra dollar won't matter. But get the money out of the way and let's get to the service.
If signed into law, businesses would have to post a salary range and a general description of benefits, or could link to a full description of pay and benefits. The rules wouldn't apply to generic help wanted posters. The measure now goes to Governor J.B. Pritzker for his signature. The site of a school district building could become downtown Urbana's next commercial development. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows reports.
For years, the building on Race Street was home to District 116's administrative headquarters. With those offices moving elsewhere, the district wants to sell the property to the city. City Administrator Carol Mitten says they would tear it down and look for a commercial developer.
With the hotel opening, Race Street is becoming as important a corridor as Main Street is. So this will be a good site to have in play.
The building is in one of Urbana's tax increment finance, or TIF, districts. They offer incentives to developers in the short term and a new source of tax revenue for the city and school district. The Urbana City Council is expected to vote next week on buying the building. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Newsroom.
Memorial Day is a day for people to honor all veterans who have died, with some feeling they need to emphasize all. Illinois Newsroom's May Antar has more.
Ready, aim, fire.
During the Memorial Day ceremony at Danville National Cemetery, families gathered with flowers and chairs to memorialize their loved ones. Johnny Carey attended yesterday's ceremony with her daughter Amory. Carey says there's a need to bring attention to non-white veterans as well, like her husband.
The United States was not built just on one set of people. It was built on all people. That's what we've always been known as, a melting pot. And the melting pot is who built this country.
Carey is the widow of a Vietnam veteran, David Carey, who was awarded a Bronze Star. Memorial Day marked the one-year anniversary of his death. I'm May Antar, Illinois Newsroom.
Still to come, some indigenous-led environmental groups are pushing to give the Mississippi River some of the same legal rights as people. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
one of the greatest novels in the English language comes to masterpiece in an adaptation of Henry Fielding's Tom Jones. Solly McLeod stars as Tom, with Sophie Wilde as Sophia, the beautiful heiress and object of his infatuation. This stellar cast brings mid-18th century England to life in all of its passion, luxury, and loose morals. You can stream every episode now as a friend of WILL. Learn more at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Owen Henderson. A growing legal movement across the globe to grant natural entities like forests and rivers the same legal rights as humans is catching on in the U.S. As Juan Pablo Ramirez Franca reports, indigenous-led campaigns to recognize the legal rights of natural entities like wild rice, salmon, and lakes are setting the stage for a nascent movement for the Mississippi River.
The Mississippi River flows lazily today. Overhead on the Centennial Bridge connecting Illinois and Iowa and the Quad Cities, cars are cruising past and sometimes honking at a long line of environmentalists that say the river is alive.
The river have rights just like human rights. Our nature have rights, and it's up to us to preserve these rights.
That's Glenda Guster from Davenport, Iowa. She was among the 80 or so people to join the Great Plains Action Society's Walk for River Rights, the centerpiece of a three-day summit for Black and Indigenous organizers from across the Mississippi River Basin. According to Sakawa Snobis, the founder of the Indigenous Rights Organization, the goal is to build a river-wide coalition to rethink the legal framework they believe imperils life on and in the Mississippi River.
The earth is really suffering. And rights of nature would basically give personhood to the river, and it would allow us to have more power to keep it safe.
The idea is that natural entities, like rivers, trees, or wildlife, have the same rights as humans, and thus have legal standing in a court of law. The implications could be far-reaching. Companies could be taken to court for damaging the river or its ecosystems. That's exactly what happened in Tamaqua, a small town in Pennsylvania. Thomas Lindsay is a senior attorney at the Center for Democratic and Environmental Rights and drafted the document to get rights for the small borough.
It may be a radical concept, or it was 20 years ago, but we're rapidly coming to a place where without this kind of new system of environmental law that we're all kind of done.
Ultimately, locals were able to stop sewage sludge from being dumped in Tamaqua using the new ordinance. He adds that before the rights of nature movement made its way to the mainstream, it was born from the cosmologies of indigenous people that recognized the natural world as made up of living beings, not just resources and commodities. In 2008, Lindsay consulted the Ecuadorian government while it drafted its new constitution, the first in the world to ratify the rights of nature. In 2021, an Ecuadorian municipality appealed to those constitutional protections to overturn mining permits that they said violated the rights of nature of the endangered Los Cedros rainforest, and they won.
The work has spread to other countries and in the U.S. to about over three dozen municipalities at this point.
Lance Foster is a member of the Iowa Tribe of Kansas and Nebraska and a speaker at the Mississippi River Summit. He says that a couple years ago, the success of rights of nature in South America got his and other tribes thinking, why not us?
And we wondered, why hasn't the big rivers, the Missouri River and the Mississippi River, have those rights?
He says that his tribe and others have created a resolution for the rights of the Missouri River. They hope to use it to fight industrial-scale agriculture and deep mining operations. 2 years ago, in Minnesota, the White Earth Band of Ojibwe brought a suit against the Enbridge Corporation's Line 3 on behalf of the Manumen, or wild rice, and its right to exist and grow. And just a couple weeks ago, the city of Seattle settled a case with the Sauk-Suiattle Indian Tribe over the claim that salmon had the right to spawn, among other rights. Foster says if corporations get legal rights in the U.S., why shouldn't rivers? After all, they were here far before humans.
Now, will we take that chance as a society? I'm dubious most days, but we have to keep trying. We have to keep going to the bitter end.
States like Idaho, Florida, and Ohio have moved to preemptively ban the possibility that nature or ecosystems can have legal standing. Even so, Foster says the rights of nature isn't as unthinkable as it once was. After all, children, women, Black and Indigenous people were once denied rights too. What's stopping the river? I'm Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco.
And finally, in your forecast, Meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 91 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Jim Meadows, May Antar, and Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Owen Henderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.